Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, in the Diocese of Orange. And I'm so excited. I am so excited. I have someone who is an inspiration to me, who means so much because she is so on fire with the Holy Spirit. We're here with Michelle Woodward, who is an LMFT, licensed marriage and family therapist, who is on fire for Jesus Christ and just in love with Jesus Christ and love with the people that she meets because that's who she is. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I am so excited to be here.
Did you like my introduction, by the way?
I loved your introduction.
Okay, good.
I love all your introductions.
Well, thank you. Thank you. This subject that we have, the pandemic and you, is something that is so, so important to all of us because we are in the midst of a great trial. We're in the midst of really a lot of mental health challenges. You know, let's face it. I mean, how can you not be challenged with this invisible disease that's out there that you can't see? And you read the newspapers or you certainly hear the news or on the internet or whatever, the stress level just goes up. I mean, as you know, I wrote a book called Be Not Afraid in March of this year because of the fact that the Lord said, have faith and not fear, and write a book to let people know that they need to pray with power, to turn to their mother, that they need to have this faith. But you, as a therapist, you've got to be seeing people that are just feeling the pressure. Your thoughts on that just in general right now?
Absolutely. The things that are really going on that really come to the fore when I talk to people are fear, anxiety, grief, and those things, just kind of a cocktail of those things. They just swirl around. And even the venue that's available to us as therapists now has changed significantly. As you know, we operate by telehealth. We don't see people one-on-one anymore, which at the offset might seem daunting and might seem like it would prohibit, you know, a flow of ideas and feelings and so forth. But actually, it's been quite valuable to do house calls. And that's what I'm calling them, house calls. I get to see people. I get to meet their spouses, if they choose, that they've told me about. I get to see their kids. I've even met a dog who's a very important member of a family.
How much did you charge the dog per hour? I'm just curious. Anyway.
A couple of wags at the tail.
A couple of wags. Give them a little bone, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you really are an incredible person with an amazing faith. Tell us about your background and how you got to love Jesus in the way that you love him right now.
Well, you know, I really credit my parents for their instilling in my sister and I great love of the Lord, and also mixing that with the power of words. My mother, extremely positive person. And just always felt that, you know, the old, be careful what you think, it becomes your words. Be careful of your words, they become your thoughts. Be careful of your thoughts, they become your actions. And your actions determine your character. And some might even say your destiny. So that was very powerful coming from her growing up. And my father, I would have to say, echoed that. He had a philosophy that you're determined by the actions that you repeatedly do over and over.
It defines you.
It defines you. It defines who you are. And they're both, you know, good Midwestern salt of the earth people, both from Wisconsin. And I grew up in Minnesota.
A cheesehead.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And just every single thing that we did was centered around God. Always prayed, you know, prayed before meals, mass, just all the good, the good things.
Now, you are so devout, and I know you go to daily Mass, and of course that you, I'm sure, experience the same challenges the rest of us did when you couldn't go to daily Mass in person mm-hmm. and receive the Eucharist and experience that. Things appear or just feel like they're kind of upside down. It's almost surreal. Mm-hmm. My daughter, Laura, you know, she calls this the zombie apocalypse, you know.
Right.
I mean, but it feels like a science fiction movie. And in fact, that's, I say that in my book. I open it up by saying, as I write this book in March 2020, it feels like some science fiction movie is being implemented in our lives. You know, and it's under this incredible new normal, this new reality that we're currently in right now. A lot of people find that very, very difficult, and they may not express it, but certainly it's, you know, they're not sleeping well, right, or they're anxious and nervous, and it impacts relationships with people. And so tell us about that, because I'm sure you're seeing that in your clients.
I do, Steve, and I find that it's something that you have to come to terms with each morning when you wake up. You have to, if you ever speak to someone who's grieving for whatever reason, and this pandemic has all the hallmarks of grief. You wake up in the morning and suddenly a wave comes over you. Oh yeah, there's that thing, that death, that loss, whatever it is. Doesn't even have to be the death of a person. It could be the loss of a job. And there are so many losses right now and real sources of grief. I lost my job due to the pandemic. I've seen young adults. I had to move home and live with my parents.
Can we talk about the stock market too?
Financial. That's a little bit out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah,
but
well,
you know,
I mean, right.
I get you. I hear you there.
you feel my pain?
I feel your pain, okay. Like all of us.
Okay.
But I mean, those losses are real. And I don't think it serves us well to say, oh, no, never mind. That really doesn't matter. It does. So
right.
That's where I start with people when I see them. I say, okay, let's discuss the losses that you feel right now. And there's cultural losses. We can't celebrate prom or graduation or Memorial
Day.
We can't have 4th of July fireworks. We can't.
Can we have a shout out to the class of 2020,
oh,
by the way?
Oh, congratulations. My son graduated from college this year, San Diego State, 2020.
Oh, wow.
And we had to celebrate over Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, come on, right? You know, after
right.
working so hard for all those years, and yeah, it's just crazy.
I had a friend of mine say, well, you know, you can go to Walmart, so have him go to Walmart and they can say his name over the loudspeaker while he's walking down the aisle.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, we have mini graduations, you know, fifth grade or whatever it is, and all the different classes, you know, first communion, confirmation. I'm a confirmation sponsor. We still haven't had it yet, right?
You know, Those are losses. Those are real losses.
You feel the pain. You feel this. I'm been asked to officiate a wedding that's been canceled. And so now, you know, it's theoretically going to happen in August. But I was thinking about that this morning going, how's that going to happen? You know, but it right now it's scheduled for that. But all of this pain and suffering.
It's cumulative.
It's cumulative. And how people don't necessarily cope well. They may fake it.
Right.
But it comes out in different ways.
It does come out in different ways. And one of the main ways, you know, well, there's a couple different types of clients that I am seeing right now. The people that are isolating because they're not married, they don't live by a family or have friends. You know, they've always lived by themselves, or maybe they live by themselves right now. So that's isolation. And then there are people that are families and, you know, with young children. And then there are people that their children have moved on. So it's just the husband and the wife together. And, you know, each of those, as you can imagine, presents a very unique set of daily life ways. It's pretty interesting.
So, you know, this show is on a number of networks here and, you know, in various places across the country. And I'm wondering, can I have some free therapy right now?
Absolutely.
Because the bottom line is this. My wife has seen more of me in the last three months than probably in the last 10 years. But you have to readjust, right?
You do. It's almost like retirement. And I see people that have gone through that adjustment. You know,
it's worse than retirement.
Where the spouse has worked outside the house. They both retire. They come home. And now they're together 24/7. So I call it, you know, it depends on where you're at, but there's the old pandemic rumble.
Oh.
The rumble in the house.
Is that trademarked? Or no?
Yeah, no, it's not, okay, but maybe I should.
Yeah, right.
It's just like, yeah, it's almost like, you know, West Side Story with the Jets and the Sharks, and you've got the rumble going on between the husband and the wife that haven't ever been together for 120 days in a row before. And
it's unbelievable, right?
You know,
I mean, new habits, new way of communicating, new everything. I mean, it can be wonderful, you know, in the sense that you are discovering each other.
Well, that's the other side of it.
It can be wonderful.
Yes.
But my guess, I keep thinking to myself, there must be a lot of people petitioning for divorce, separation, too.
Let me just say one thing. Sorry to interrupt you, but I don't want to forget this. I want to leave it with you because you asked for the free therapist. So I'm going to give you my most valuable and works 100% of the time. Okay, you ready?
There's I'm ready.
On
I'm
this
ready.
One. All right. So just try smiling at Marianne twice
That's
a day.
That's my wife, by the way.
twice a day. Look at her in the eyes and give a real smile.
Wow.
Right in the eyes.
My brothers
twice
and sisters, this is not just for me. This is for you, too.
And I
look
guarantee.
Look at your loved ones and smile and laugh and enjoy
yes.
them and compliment them and build them up and encourage them. So, so important. And that's a great, the bill's in the mail, I'm sure, but no, in any case, no, that's awesome. You know, we're going to come right back to talk more about, again, how do we grow faith in the midst of this trial, the midst of this pandemic? And what are some ideas, some practical ideas for sheltering in place with children, small children, let's say, all children, and your spouse. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back. We're going through challenging times without a doubt, and that's certainly true for ministries and nonprofits. The Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we use our funds to feed the poor, to evangelize, to market in the sense of spreading communication about Jesus Christ to those that really are hungry to hear God's word. Please donate to us. Go to our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. Look under the donate button and donate any amount. We're also looking for those who want to be partners. Partners are someone that will donate on a monthly basis a certain amount of money, and we'll take any amount of money on a monthly basis. So you can contact us, drop us a note, and we'll give you a call and set you up to be a monthly donor. When you are generous, God is even more generous without a shadow of a doubt, as it says in Scripture that God loves a cheerful giver. And we're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Michelle Woodward, who is a licensed family marriage therapist here in Southern California. And your office is in Newport Beach?
It's right in beautiful Newport Beach.
Beautiful.
I overlook Balboa Island in the Pacific Ocean.
And I would highly recommend you, if I could be so bold.
Thank you.
And how can they get in touch with you?
They would need to go to my email, which is mjwoodward@cox.net.
Okay, awesome. Now, we're talking about the pandemic and you, and we're talking about things changing so dramatically. And for example, sheltering in place, you know, let's talk about some variety of different things. I mean, I just can't even imagine having a lot of small children around. Or how about, you know, three or four children or even whatever number it is. And now all of a sudden they're home all the time. And the husband and wife may both have jobs, and they're working from home with the children at home. Give us some ideas on some mental health ideas on what they can do.
So glad you asked. Okay. The first one, lower expectations. Right?
Absolutely.
You know, so many people, when did you all think that you were going to become teachers? And now you are.
Exactly.
You are a teacher. You know, granted, there's, you know, the Zoom calls and the, you know, lesson plans and so forth, but you're a teacher. So, you know, we all know what geniuses our kids are. We all know how loving they are, how bright, how creative. But what we weren't prepared for was try to get them to sit through hours at a time doing schoolwork. Guess what, folks? They're not going to do it. Let them, you know, focus for 30 minutes, then they can get up. And maybe if you know, there's a game they can play, a short video game, you put the timer on, you let them run around the yard, maybe make them run around the yard and then come back. But really the attention span shouldn't be expected to be, you know, longer than 30 minutes. And how about us? How about our attention span? How about what we're willing to do? Now, for some of us, it can go in the opposite direction. I am telling people, please limit your exposure to news to 30 minutes.
Oh, please. You know what I limit it to? 0 minutes, except for the internet, where I can basically look at essentially what's going on. I can pick and choose whatever articles I'm reading, but I can't handle the news on TV or radio or whatever, just because it's so negative and sensational and so forth.
Well, they're marketing geniuses, and the way that they market is to hook. They get a hook, and the way they get that hook is to inflate your anxiety. If you're worried about something, they know you're going to tune in after the commercial break. Oh, wait and see what happened and how this could affect your family. You know, news at 10, and you're going to tune in because you don't want your family to have that situation. So, you know, I see that time and time again. Try to limit, if you can, your exposure to the news. Try not to have it on every TV in the house. Turn it on in the car and so forth.
Now, what's in the shelter in place and so forth? And of course, now we're reading the news as the time of this recording that we're hitting all time heights on those that are being infected and hospitalization and all kinds of things, you know, in so many parts of the country. And so people are saying, well, I can't go out. I'm going to have to continue to be at home. I mean, what can you do? And I'm just going to throw out something. I probably walk or exercise now 3 to 4 times more than I ever did. You know,
amen. And you get a gold star.
Yeah. And that seems to really help me in terms of just trying to kind of get some normalization about it, but makes me feel better, I guess, from a mental health standpoint.
That's the first thing I tell people. And again, you know, how the Bible has those numbers that keep coming up. There's 7, there's 40, whatever. For me, 30 minutes keeps coming up. Exercise at least 30 minutes a day. And it doesn't have to, you don't have to go run. You don't have to do jumping jacks or sit-ups or push-ups or whatever. I'm just talking really simple. Get your heart rate elevated. Go walk around the block if you want to. If you live near a park, walk there. A lot of those places have opened up. You can bring a mask. And, you know, when you're outside, the wind is blowing, you probably aren't as susceptible. But when you walk by someone in a small space, put your mask on.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I do. I always bring a mask and I try to have my 6 feet or more, you know, and to walk in places that you can, you know, have that distance, you know. So I know a lot of places now, they have one way. You know,
yes, they have
one way.
Do.
So you know, you're not necessarily going right against somebody. But so, I mean, I think that's one of the things that's very important. Now, this is Empowered by the Spirit, as you know, and you're such a strong Catholic and Christian and so faithful. I am now praying 3 rosaries on my walk and 10 Divine Mercy chaplets because I'm walking for a couple hours.
Awesome.
And to increase one's prayer life when you're walking is also important.
Oh, definitely. And I, especially with the chaplet, I like to personalize it. When the part says, have mercy on us and on the whole world, whoever my intention is, I use their name. My husband, Blake, have mercy on Blake and on the whole world. Have mercy on Steve and on the whole world. Have mercy on Laura and on the whole world. whoever it is that I'm praying, you know, that really brings their face. And I think about their face as I'm walking. And as I'm saying that, I try to visualize that person's face.
Well, not to get too personal, but I pray for each member of your family by name single day.
Thank you.
For Divine Mercy Chaplet and Rosary.
Oh,
and
every, I feel it. God bless
you. Every single day, because that is so powerful, to your point.
It is.
To pray by name.
Yes.
Sam and Clay and Blake and Michelle, and by name, and to pray blessings upon them as you're praying this rosary, as you're praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's powerful.
It is powerful. And, you know, we've all come to the point where we might say to ourselves, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if I lose my job? What if I have to move out of my house? What if one of my loved ones gets really sick? And you know what happens when you start doing that? You start ruminating, and it's just that old spiral going down the drain, just sucking everything down the drain. So I say to people, instead of what if, change that F to an S, as in Sam, and say, what is? Instead of what if this happens, say, what is happening? That brings you into the present, Steve. That brings you into right now. That brings you into facts. What is going on right in front of you, so you don't have to ruminate? You haven't lost your job. You're in your house. Or if you have lost your job, how is it that you're working on it? How is it that you're doing that? People say, you know, even us who just love the Lord and who believe and trust in Him and have great faith, we say, why me? Why us? Why, you know, why Lord? Why? Like Job, who had all those things going on. Why? And a better question to ask is probably, well, what now?
Well, it's so important. And we look at scripture in Matthew. It says, by your words, you'll be acquitted. By your words, you'll be condemned. Mm-hmm. The spoken word is so powerful. So again, you look at the fourth chapter of Philippians, where it says, whatever is trustworthy, praiseworthy, whatever is good, gracious, think about these things, mm-hmm. and then the peace of Christ will come upon you to rejoice in the Lord always. So what you say is so, so important. What you think is so important. This is really important to me, is that anyone starts talking about tomorrow. Again, scripture is very clear. It says, do not worry about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow will have its problems of its own. Mm-hmm. You focus on today. And again, you know, as I look at Psalm 119, verse 115, it says, you know, as we walk, that we have a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And, you know, what happened at the time of way back when, before Jesus even, is that they used to put little lights on, and they could only look at like 2 feet. And it's almost, the message is, focus on the now. Mm. Don't focus on what might happen. Focus on the now.
What is?
What
focus
is?
And you mentioned Philippians 4:8, which is huge. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I assign that to my clients.
Wow.
People who are anxious. I have them get a poster board and find photos, either in their own photo library, photos they've taken in their phone or whatever, and print them out, or magazines, whatever illustrates. And I have them make illustrations with the photos on the board of each of those things, so that when they do have a tendency to ruminate, to say, oh no, what if this happens, what if that happens, or they feel anxious, they pull up that poster board and then they say that one line, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, I will think about such things.
And then the next line that says,
which is,
then the peace that passes all understanding will come upon you.
Right.
Right. Because when you do that, it leads to peace, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
And people have to stop that downward spiral.
Right.
And I also tell them to use a stop sign.
Ooh.
Think of that red stop sign with the white letters STOP, which I like to turn into an acronym. S, stop. T, then O, offer. P, prayer. Stop, then offer prayer. So you stop that bad thought. You stop yourself from going down that drain. And then you put something good in there. And we are a people, as Catholics, we have so many prayers that we love. We have so many available to us.
Amen.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen.
Jesus, I surrender.
Divine mercy, right?
You take care of everything.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, come. Blessed Virgin, intercede for me with your loving Son.
Amen. So I worked with a person, and I'd never heard this before. She said it. And she talked about circling the drain, you know,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I never
Absolutely.
Heard that before, but tell us about that circling the drain and how, you know, you got to be careful on that.
Well, that's what I'm referring to. When you ruminate, see, here's the deal. You can look backwards. That's what we do. We look backwards and we, if that happens for too long and you ruminate, that creates despair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should have done this with my life. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, if only I would have done this with my kids or blah, blah, blah. But also looking forward and fixating on that, what's going to happen? That produces anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
To some extent, you have to, because you have to plan for the day, right? You have to plan for your life. But if you fixate on that, it creates anxiety. So where you shouldn't look back too long. You shouldn't look forward too long. Where can we look up?
Amen. You look
we
up.
We look up. We look up and we ask God to love us as only he knows how to do.
And it's Jesus, I trust in you. I mean, do you
Jesus,
believe? Do you,
do you
have faith, my brothers and sisters? Faith is big as the mustard seed because Jesus knows what's best for you. You know, Romans 8:28, in all things
work
right?
for the good of those
all things
who love
work
God.
For the good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, and 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. So knowing that all things work for good, knowing the fact that we have to give thanks, you know, all of a sudden we feel calmer, you know, because now we're trusting more.
Wait a minute here though. Does that include the pandemic? All things work for the good of those who love God. Is that include the pandemic?
It includes everything.
Amen.
Right?
It includes everything.
And that's what's so important. Even when things don't appear to be good, but think about the positive things. Make a list of the positive things that have happened. You are spending more time with family.
Yes.
You are spending more time at home. There are lots of very... I'm exercising like I've never exercised before.
You wrote a book.
I wrote a book.
You wrote a book.
And actually, I've even lost 10 pounds. You know.
Oh, amen. I thought you looked skinny.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, not skinny, but skinnier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but bottom line is this, is that you can make it into good. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about what you can do during this pandemic to let the Lord come to you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, I have something very exciting in addition to what we've talked about to talk to you about, and that is a new book that I've written called Be Not Afraid. I was so motivated by the Lord to write this book as the coronavirus, the COVID-19 was breaking, to give people hope, to give people faith. It is a book that isn't terribly long, 116 pages, but it is easy reading, but it's powerful reading. It is a book with power of the Holy Spirit to give you how to have faith in the midst of fear, how to have courage, how to turn to the Blessed Mother, how to turn to the Holy Spirit, how to let Jesus fill in your hearts and souls. Be Not Afraid is exactly what the title is about. It is about having faith. It is about having courage. It is not about fear. As Scripture says, perfect love drives out all fear. Now, what is our program on Be Not Afraid? We are soliciting donors that will help us. We are really discounting it tremendously because we want to give these out for free. The book is discounted from $15 to $5 a book with a minimum order of 100 books. And if you order 100 books, you can give them out to your friends. You can give them out to various ministries that you're part of. And we're hoping the entire parish will adopt it. So, for example, if you have a parish, you can get together some people and donate the books for free for your parish. And it's called Be Not Afraid. You can see it online right now on Kindle, Amazon. We have a Kindle book, Be Not Afraid, you could take a look at if you want to read the content. But this is a book that we really want parishes to adopt because people need hope right now and they need tools on how not to be afraid. So please contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Go to our website, SpiritFilledHearts.org, and find a way of supporting us. And please thank you in advance for supporting us in prayer. Thank you in advance for supporting us financially and to having a gift given to your parish. God bless you all. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with someone that, you know, I just praise God when I think of you. You know, I just want to say that. You know, I praise God when I think of you, your husband Blake, your family, just who you are and the wonderful things you do. This is Michelle Woodward, who is an LMFT, licensed marriage family therapist in Newport Beach, California, who's in love with the Lord. We're talking about the pandemic and you. Bottom line is this. It is about learning how to cope in times of trial. And God has prepared you for this pandemic because of challenges in your life and your family. Share how these challenges have made you into who you are.
Well, Steve, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. And yes, I think that's all of our stories, isn't it? We're formed by the good things that happen to us and the not so good things that happen to us. And we take along life lessons based upon those things. My husband and I have been married for almost 30 years. And shortly after we were married, the Holy Spirit really stirred my heart. He really did. And it led me to a Bible verse. I mean, I'm a Catholic. We have Bible in the Mass every single day. I've always loved the Bible. But I was just really taken by this Bible verse. And it was Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And when I read that, I was just blown away. You know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, that verse blew me away. I loved it so much that I printed it up and I included it in all the Christmas cards that year. And people were saying, well, why did you include that Bible verse? And I said, it really, really spoke to me. And I wanted to share that hope with everyone. I started reading the Bible more and just really paying attention. So years later, in what could have been a tragedy, it inspired me to go farther with my relationship. My older son and I were riding in the car not far from our home, and a woman at a major intersection near us ran the red light and totaled our car. And we were stuck inside our car. The intersection closed down. Fire trucks came, police. Mm. And a firefighter pulled me out of the car. And as that was happening, I just felt so grateful that we came out of the accident relatively unscathed. So I started going to daily Mass. Mm. And little did I know then that I was doing spiritual training that I would need later for a spiritual marathon. Mm. Fast forward, for the past 2.5 years, my family's really undergone some heartbreaking challenges that legal proceedings really stopped me from describing here. I can't really go into it, but they are really daunting in their reality and pain, and they require me to daily rely on the trust in God that I've been graced with and have learned and had instilled in me, continue to receive through daily Mass, through reading, through all your books.
Thank you. Thank you.
Deacon Steve, your books are on my nightstand. I must say that you have been present with me at 3 a.m. sometimes.
And
anyway, but these heartbreaking challenges are, I call them my black hole from Satan. And we all know that black hole, it just threatens to suck in anything good into this evil kind of hole. And how do I fight it? I fight it with people like you praying for me and our church community, attending Mass, the Holy Eucharist. I can't live without the Eucharist. Now, during the pandemic, it was so hard. And now I'm back to daily Mass and I'm receiving the Eucharist. What a difference has made in my life. Therapeutic skills and strategies that I'm very grateful that I happen to have in place by virtue of my profession, and going on 3-mile walks, gardening, really important, choosing the company of positive people.
Amen to that.
Focusing on that and friends.
And choose encouragers. We even named our dog Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. You know, Barnabas was, you know, the companion to Paul in Scripture. And I love that name, that concept of encouragement. To be around people that build you up is really important.
It's so important. And sometimes we might get tired after being with friends or family members. We might experience that. I talk to my clients about that. Just pay attention to your energy level after you're with people. Just do a little like litmus paper test. Am I feeling more energy? After I see you, I'm up on cloud nine. I'm walking. I'm feeling loved. I'm feeling encouraged. I'm feeling energetic. I'm feeling like the Holy Spirit is moving in me. I can scale the heights. However, there are some people that I feel less than that with,
right.
You know, and not even necessarily by their cutting me down, but just, you know, which I really can't think of those experiences, but just their outlook on life and their constant complaining or looking at everything. As I said before, I was taught that words matter. Words have power. So, I mean, I honestly try not to put negative words. When my kids were growing up, I would never let them get the cool t-shirts that had skulls and crossbones or whatever, because I just thought, no, I want only positive words and positive words for myself.
So I have probably around 20 books either written or written about or written by St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And part of her books, she often talks about various truths and various things. But one thing that really hits me is she says, she talks about joy, and she says to her sisters or brothers, she said, if you are depressed or don't feel joy, when you go out, that carries with you to the poor, to the people you're ministering to. She said, don't go out, you know, go before the Blessed Sacrament, go before adoration. And then only when you feel joy in your heart, should you then go out, because we have a responsibility. That responsibility is to be an encourager. That's straight out of Scripture.
Yes,
it is. To encourage the holy ones. It's straight out of Scripture. And we have a responsibility to build up, to look for the positive, for look. You know, there's a program by Sin Delaney, who is a consultant, and I'll give them free press here, but it was one of the best programs I ever had in business. And their focus was catch people doing something right.
Indeed.
And acknowledge it and build up. And that is one of the most important things. I have a joke about this. You ready?
Yeah.
And the joke is, on my tombstone, on the front, I wanted to say, he was an encourager. And on the back, I wanted to say, and he was relentless.
Excellent.
A relentless encourager.
Encourager, yes.
You know, and boy, do we need that now more than ever?
We do. Well, that goes back to that smile.
Yeah.
That assignment that I gave you earlier.
Yeah.
You're very famous for saying what? Moving the 6 inches from...
18 inches from the head to the heart. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I say, let it move almost 18 inches from your heart to your mouth and make a smile.
Wow. I love that. I love that.
Let people know.
Is that trademarked?
Yeah, I think it's soon to be.
Okay.
You may not. You may not so. Steal it, but you do have permission to use it.
Okay.
Just give me
I'll reference your name.
Reference my name.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's just so important. So, yeah, to be around people who help you and build you up. Now the question is, you know, here we are confined in a shelter with, you know, with your spouse or children or whatever, and they're grumpy and they're complaining and they're not necessarily building you up. In fact, they're pointing out things you do wrong. What do you do then?
Well, remember I mentioned before how you need to decrease your expectation of people.
There you go.
Okay. Well, let's not forget that, but let's add to that this one, which I love. Give grace.
Hmm.
Okay. These people are going through the same despair, fear, worry. They're going through it in different ways. Your kids aren't worrying about paying the mortgage, but they are worried about they're not going to see their friends and what school are they going to be able to go back to school in the fall and things like that. During this time, we're doing what we typically reserve for Lent. We're dying to ourselves a little bit.
Mm.
We're dying to ourselves. And we are giving grace.
Mm.
Now, I'd like to give you a thought. I'd like to give you a phrase. And I heard this years ago when I was at one of my internships, one of my post-grad internships. There was a woman, and she was wonderful with kids, just fabulous. And on her desk, she had a plaque, and it said, "Children need love most when they deserve it the least."
Amen. That is so great. And it's not just children, right?
And that's what exactly you took the words out of my mouth. It's not just children. You could say that about your spouse. My spouse needs love most when she deserves it the least. My friend, whatever, whoever it is that you're in place with, those people. And it's really amazing. Remember I said that I would guarantee the smile would work. If you are in a discussion, an argument with someone that you've been sheltering with, if you just quiet down for a couple of minutes and go over and just put your arms around that person, I guarantee it'll just take the air right out of it. The air that fuels the fire will just kind of dissipate.
And to say certain things like, "I love you. I love you. I trust you. I believe in you. I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing." You know, now's not the time to take things for granted. Now's not the time to think if your spouse cooks a meal, you know, thank them. You know, do the dishes, you know, if you're not the one cooking, whatever. But even if you are, I mean, whatever. Do those simple things to show people that they're loved, you know.
Some people aren't comfortable with that, though. And I have some clients like that. That's not how they were made. That's not how they were formed in their family of origin. They're good people, but they're not touchy-feely. They're not prone to saying, "I love you," or to giving hugs. And then they say to me, "Well, Michelle, how can I do that?"
By you actions, know, right?
Exactly.
By actions. That's more important.
You learn to love by loving.
Yes.
You learn to forgive by forgiving.
Right.
You know, there's no, we all know this, you know this, I've heard you talk about it before, but there's not some fairy that comes and hits you with the wand, the forgiveness wand, and says, "Okay, now you decide to forgive." It's a decision, and you don't rely on your emotions. Emotions are very unreliable. Right. You've got to make a decision. Okay, she said that to me, really felt bad about that, but I'm going to make a move for a repair attempt with her. I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to say, "Hey, I didn't feel good about that, but I'm going to try to forgive you."
We're going to come back and talk more about emotions because, and just, I want to just set the table right now. So many people are triggered by events with their emotions, something that happens. They feel great. They're excited, or they feel depressed, or they go up and down and up and down. And, you know, at least my opinion, I'm not the therapist expert that you are. My opinion is that we need to search for steady state as much as we can and avoid the highs and the lows, and to realize that we just know there are things sometimes that bother us, things that whatever. But if we overreact, it creates issues for ourselves, certainly, and for the people around us. But to realize the fact that you're in this thing for the long haul. And the more that you can be steady state, the better off you are. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're right back to talk about emotions in the time of pandemic and what we can do to really enhance our emotional stability. You're on Empowered by the Spirit.
Friends, have you had the chance to check out our Empowered by the Spirit Patreon page yet? You're probably wondering, what is that? And what is Patreon? Well, it's a website and kind of a centralized hub of all the happenings and goings-on with Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. Like radio shows with your favorite guest, live conference talks on Catholic faith and spirituality, dynamic videos you can't find anywhere else, and coming very soon, audiobooks and a lot more. Simply go online to patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. Come visit today to see and hear what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Empowered by the Spirit, Deacon Steve Greco talking about the pandemic in you with Michelle Woodward, who is an LMFT, licensed marriage family therapist, who loves Jesus, and is really a wonderful person and a great therapist. And we're talking about mental health in this time of the pandemic, because it is a real challenge. And right before the break, I talked about this this emotional roller coaster. And at least for me, because, you know, I'm Italian, you know, and I grew up in kind of an emotional house where things would go flying in the air if people were upset and, you know, all kinds of things.
He's saying that while his hands are moving and gesturing.
The hands are waving and gesturing. And the bottom line is, at least for many of us, emotional steady state and not overreacting to challenges that are in front of us, I think, is something very important. But you're the expert. You tell me.
Emotions are so big and it's so rich, so varied. There's so many things to say about emotions. But we really got our emotional blueprint from our families, where we started out. And they taught us the correct, I'm putting air quotes around correct, way to respond to things. When you get in a relationship with a spouse, their way that they learned from their family obviously is different than yours. You mentioned your Italian family, and your wife has her background, and the way that she learned things is, I would venture to say, very different. The emotional
Correct.
Atmosphere in her. One thing I like to tell people, now also, I have so many things I'd like to say about this, but one thing is, this pandemic is like a magnifying glass.
Mm.
It is putting a magnifier on the things that we do normally in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're familiar with the AA program and the acronym HALT, H-A-L-T. Have you ever heard of that?
I have.
So H is for hungry, A is for angry, L is for lonely, and T is for tired. And it cautions people when they're working their program and trying to not drink alcohol to really make plans for those times when they're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. I'd say we can apply that to our pandemic. When you are in this time, is not a good time to make a major change. If you've ever done the annotated exercises, St. Ignatius, 19th annotated, he talks about consolation and desolation. He says, when you are in desolation, and I think the pandemic probably qualifies as being desolation to some degree.
Sure.
You don't make a major change.
Mm.
You don't change your life in a huge way during a time like that. In the same way that when you and your wife are having an argument or a disagreement, that also is...
Were
being...
you in our house recently? By the way? No, just kidding.
You yeah. and everybody else,
yeah.
okay? Remember the pandemic rumble that I mentioned earlier, right? Everybody has at least one pandemic
at least one,
rumble.
Right.
Maybe more than that.
Maybe more.
Little ones. But here's what I'd like to say. I'd like to leave, I've tried to leave you a couple tips today, and this one I'd really like you to think about when you're with your spouse and they're, you call it overreacting. And I have words that I could say about that, but let's just leave it there. You called it overreacting.
Highly stimulated. Can we say
okay.
that?
You could say that.
Okay.
But anyway, you might look at them. Just remember, if their reaction is not equal to your infraction, easy to remember. If their reaction is not equal to your infraction, it's probably coming from that family that they came from.
Mm.
It's probably something that they were taught. It's probably something that was instilled in them, ingrained in them. And it probably helped them growing up. It probably helped them to survive in their family. But we often know that things that have helped us at some point, they can hinder us too. And those things that have helped your spouse in their family of origin sometimes hinder in their relationship. So just keep that in mind. If you feel like their reaction is not equal to your infraction, it's probably not about you. And sometimes if you pray right when that happens, I talked to somebody about this and he said to say, Mary, shut my mouth. Mary, shut my mouth. I mean, just pause for a little bit and think, where is this reaction coming from? It's not, I don't deserve that. That was like not about me, and it's probably not.
And one of the things too that I learned over the years too is to try not to focus on the words, but what's the emotion behind the word? In other words, what is triggering it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are they feeling right
mm-hmm.
there? You know, are they feeling abandoned? Are they feeling, you know, angry? And again, that something triggered in them,
mm-hmm.
the response that they have. And again, to pray for patience. Absolutely. Pray for patience and don't respond in kind, which is very difficult, especially if you feel like they're doing something that you didn't deserve, your point.
And that's where prayer is very helpful.
Right.
I love the Holy Spirit because he's the great creator. He's the great comforter, the paraclete. He was sent to us to comfort us. He's the consoler. I just call on him. Holy Spirit, come. Give me the words right now. It even says that in the Bible. He'll, if you don't have the words, you don't need them, he'll provide them with groanings.
And he'll lead you to all truth, right?
Yes, but yeah. When you're in the heat, now you're Italian, so you've probably bring some heat to these interactions too.
Just sometimes,
right?
Yeah.
If I talk to your wife, she could probably say
yeah, she can.
So
she can,
ask the Holy Spirit to help.
Amen, amen. Now, along those lines, what practices, spiritual practices, can people do right now to be mentally healthy?
I'm so glad you asked that.
Yes.
You know, we talked earlier about my own experience, and I said I feel like there's this black hole. I also feel like in this time of grief for myself, I feel like there is grief, like personified, sitting on my bed in the morning. I wake up, and there's grief sitting there saying, okay, what are you going to do? And I have my plan. I have my daily plan, and you, grief, are not going to win. You're not going to win. I have my plan. What my plan consists of, and what I tell many people, is can you go to daily mass? Can you receive communion? Can you go to confession? The sacraments are great. But before that, do you have a devotional next to your bed where you can feed your mind and heart and body words of praise and joy and positivity immediately, right from the get-go, before the day, before that black hole has a chance to get a hold, before you turn on the news and they talk about, oh, the next 2 weeks are going to be much, COVID cases are going to go up and we've closed restaurants
exactly.
and so forth. Before that happens. But I really, 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 this is my favorite thing. Have an altar in your house. Make a little altar.
Amen.
Put a nice little cloth down. Doesn't have to be big. Get some images of Christ, of Mary. Have a cross. Have your rosary. Have some holy cards.
A sacred space.
We've traveled to some wonderful pilgrimages, and we have wonderful things. Put a rosary there, and put a fresh flower there.
Right, right.
God is in nature.
And forgive ourselves too, right? Forgive,
absolutely.
Which is difficult. And try not to receive negativity about yourself or give negativity, you know. And basically, if someone says things negative to you, my brothers and sisters say, you know, at least mentally say to yourself, I don't receive that. And the final thing from my perspective anyway, and the little bit of mental health exercises that I do, is I am statements. Very,
absolutely.
Very important.
Affirmations.
Affirmations.
Yes.
I am statements. I am a good person.
Yes.
I am loving. I am kind. I am whatever. And you may not feel loving or feel kind, but that is who you are. It doesn't mean that you're perfect in every way.
That will lead you
to
that. Those affirmations do that. And I want to give a plug to Richard Rohr. I know you know him.
Sure.
Famous.
Absolutely.
I love what he says. He says, that which is not transformed will be transmitted.
I love that.
And that goes right. When you were talking, that just clicked for me. You know, take what somebody says about you. If it's negative, you need to transform it, or you will transmit that to your wife, to your kids, to other people.
That's powerful.
And how do you do that? I'm asking you, how do you transform it? How would you do it? By prayer, right?
You transform it by being in the presence of God.
Absolutely.
And that is prayer and the communication that you have. But it isn't flip a switch either. Be in the presence of God through prayer on an ongoing basis, right?
It's a daily spiritual workout.
It's a daily spiritual work. And daily, it's the parable of the sower every day.
It's great. Enjoyable.
It's fantastic.
I get to read your books. I get to hear you. I get to go online and go to your conferences. And
well, it is. You are such a blessing to us and to the world. And I'm so thankful that you're here, that you're giving these tips. Do you have a final, this is the big tip right now to the world, but do you have any final thoughts that you have and during this challenging time? Because, you know, I'd like to say it's going to be over next week, but let's just say that more than likely we'll be doing this for a while. And the other thing I'll say as you're praying and thinking about what to say here next, and the final summary is, you know, it's very important to understand that this is cumulative.
Absolutely.
This is cumulative. And so the longer we're at it, in some ways, the more challenging it is. And so we have to even be holier and more spiritual the longer this goes on. But what's your summary as it relates to our listening audience?
Fill your heart with the Spirit any way that you can. Fill your heart with the Spirit any way that is good for you. People say, well, Michelle, how should I pray? Well, I always say, pray the way that you can, not the way that you can't. If you start praying a way and that doesn't work for you, go to a way that you can. But fill it. Read Deacon Steve's books. Go to Mass. Take communion. Always have a prayer on your lips. A prayer of gratitude for things that are going right. A prayer of faith. Lord, come Holy Spirit.
Amen. And go to our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. We have this new book, Be Not Afraid, that was written during COVID-19 in March of this year. Specifically, the Lord said, write this book to give tools and to give help for those in this midst of the pandemic. And read scripture, pray the rosary. What other spiritual things would you recommend? Go to Mass, certainly, every day if you can.
Go to Mass if you can. But you can always say the rosary. You can say it while you're working. You can say it while you're walking. You can say the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But always have a thought in your heart and in your mind. You can pair it with things. Like every time you look at your cell phone, say, I'm not going to look at my cell phone without saying, Jesus, I trust in you.
I love that.
And
I love
pair it with that every time.
Exactly. It is so wonderful to have you on the show. And will you come back?
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you and worship you. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for all the blessings that you give us. Cover us with your precious blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Protect us against COVID-19 and all illness and all sickness. And heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, next week's show, again, I'm so excited to have my dear friend, the Norbertine priest, Father Augustine Pugner, who is the pastor of St. John the Baptist Church in Costa Mesa. And our show is talking about faith in today's world. And boy, do we need faith. And Father Augustine Pugner is just an inspiration to me and to countless other people that is the epitome of what faith is all about. So you don't want to miss next week's show. It's really exciting. Can't wait for the show to air.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. This program is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about our mission, visit SpiritFilledHearts.org. That's SpiritFilledHearts.org. And if this podcast has been a blessing to you, please consider partnering with us financially. Your generous gifts are the fuel to keep these powerful podcasts coming to you. Go to SpiritFilledHearts.org and click Donate on the front of the screen. That's SpiritFilledHearts.org and click Donate. And be sure to tell a friend about our program and encourage them to tune in as well. Until next time, may Almighty God bless you and protect you.
My friends, I know that you're in love with Jesus Christ. That's the reason why you're listening to this show. And I know you want to support ministries that are on fire for Jesus. Spiritful Hearts Ministry is one of those ministries. If you enjoy this show, if you enjoy supporting ministries that are on fire with Jesus and want to evangelize young adults, want to evangelize everyone about the power of the Holy Spirit, about how much God loves them, then prayerfully consider to support our ministry, Spiritful Hearts. To go to our website, spiritfulhearts.org, take a look under the donate button. You can become a monthly partner for any amount of money, and we will contact you to set you up. We are a 501c3. We're tax exempt, so any of your donations to Spiritful Hearts Ministry is tax deductible. We're on fire for Jesus Christ. We're on fire for you to support you in any way we can. but we cannot exist without support and without funding. Please pray and please be moved by the Holy Spirit. No one outdoes God's generosity. Thank you for your love, your support, your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.